Father, we just thank you for this man. Lord, we thank you for the gift of God that he is to the body of Christ and, Lord, to this church and, Lord, to all of our lives. And today, Lord, we just ask that you would use him. God, we open our hearts to hear what the Spirit is saying. And, Lord, we honor and respect, God, who he is and who you are in him. Lord, bless this time, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, won't you please give a warm welcome to our friend, Greg Duguid.
Thank you. Justin said he was going to give me, dim the lights and give me a drum roll, but I guess that's... Well, what I want to talk about is something that is, I believe, a fundamental foundation of being a Christian. And it is something that I've walked through in the 36 years since I've known the Lord. And it's gave me much freedom that I think is promised being a follower of Christ. And it's also been a hindrance that's caused me a lot of pain when I don't do it. But first, I want to just tell a quick part of my testimony. In that, at 31 years old, when I was raised in a Catholic family, I went to parochial schools, and this is no reflection on them. And but at 17, something happened in my life, and I just made a lot of bad choices. So by the time I'm 31, I had made a wreck of my life. And I knew that things had to change, so I saw doctors and professionals and, you know, in hopes of getting my life somewhat straightened out. And during that season, I was going to meetings, and there was this guy that was about a year older than me, and there was just something drawing me to him. So after about 3 weeks, I said, "Can we go have coffee?" And he goes, "Yeah." And so sitting in a booth at Topps Big Boy, Kenny starts sharing with me about Jesus. And even though I was raised in a Christian home, something clicked that night. And sitting in that booth, there was two things going on. For the first time in my life, I had hope. And at the same time, my pride was fighting me on this whole concept that I'm a sinner, but I got to make a choice to believe the things that I was told in my youth. And so that night, everything shifted. And fortunately, God placed Kenny in my life because there was a few things he told me. He says, "Now here's some stuff you got to start doing." One, I had to find a church, and I had to go to church every time it was open. Every day I had to give thanks. Every time I got mad, I had to give thanks. And then once I found a church, he told me, he said, "You got to serve." But before those other things, he said, "Okay," he said, "me and a couple guys meet at my apartment twice a week. You got to come." And really what it was we would talk about the struggles of our life, and then he would go to Scripture and say, "Well, this is what Scripture says about it." It laid my foundation that whatever goes on in my life, the answer is in Scripture. And so I give you that because the foundation that I want to talk about is forgiveness. I believe it's the foundation of our faith. And it's only by understanding God's forgiveness and making it a part of our daily life that I think we're able to enjoy the freedom that is promised us, the transformation the healing that it talks about. Forgiveness is a gift. I believe it's a primary spiritual discipline of every Christian. We're told and we learn how to receive forgiveness in that moment, whether you were like me and your life wasn't the way you had hoped, or whether you were fortunate enough to be raised in a family of believers and you were encouraged and you were instructed and you were talked about who God was and who Jesus was, and you didn't have to go through all the trials. Either way, at some point, you had to make a decision. Jesus is my answer. God can heal me and restore me and sanctify me. So I believe it's the foundation, but we're told in that moment that we can receive, and I did. In that moment, I received forgiveness as I struggled when I admitted that I was making a lot of mistakes and I was a sinner. The hope came because I felt God's love. And part of the instructions in the church that God led me to was learning not only to receive his forgiveness, but now I had to start forgiving others. And I'll admit there was times in my life that I either probably chose not to forgive or was so wounded that I just couldn't get there. But either way, it affected my life in a very negative manner when I chose not to forgive. Like I said, I believe it's a foundation of every follower of Christ, but yet so many times in my walk with the Lord, I've heard people identifying themselves as Christians that won't forgive. Well, you don't understand what they did. Whatever it may be. And, you know, Jesus is our model. There's a lot of scriptures on forgiveness. And I will tell you that even speaking on forgiveness, I'm just touching the tip of the iceberg. There is so much to it. But with that said, you know, in Luke 23:34, when Jesus is on the cross and he's got criminals on each side, then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided up his garments and cast lots. During the Last Supper, when he knew what he was going to go through, Jesus said, "This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Humbling ourselves and acknowledging that we have sinned and repenting and asking God to forgive us can be hard, but it's the foundation, and I believe it is the pathway or the doorway to the freedom and the promises that are given to us by God. There's, you know, I think of Adam when they were in the garden. And everybody knows the story. They're in the garden. He eats of the fruit. And it tells us in Genesis that God is walking in the garden. Adam and Eve hear him. So God is fellowshipping with them. And up to that point, is fellowshipping with them, is there with him, is hanging out with them. And it says that Adam felt afraid. He felt shame and guilt because he realized he was naked. And there's a scripture in 3:21 where it says, "Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them." And I think of that, and I remember initially thinking of that, and it's kind of like, well, why would God, why in the midst of talking to Adam about what he did and his sin and Adam having the guilt and the shame, why does it say that God made garments? And I believe that God so desperately wanted to fellowship with him, that he knew that their shame, he would have to help him cover that. Well, if he wanted to fellowship with Adam to where he quickly made garments out of skins, why is it not reasonable to believe that he's just as quick to forgive us when we go to him and repent? Because it's the restoration of the relationship. Scripture tells us we're made in God's image. God made us because he wanted to fellowship with us. He wanted to be in relationship with us. We're made to be relational beings. If we don't value, understand, and value God's forgiveness, and we don't make it a part of our lives, I believe that it'll be difficult, if not impossible, for us to extend God's love to other people. It'll probably be impossible to extend forgiveness to the people who have wronged us. You know, in Matthew, there's the parable about the unforgiving servant. And I want to read that, and there's a point at the end that I want to bring up. So this is in Matthew 18, 21 and 35. It says, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?'" I always like that because it's kind of like, let me negotiate. Let me make it as little as I can. Anyway, Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, the master commanded he be sold with his wife and children, and that all he had, that payments be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave his debts." Then it goes on. "But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he said, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe me.' So this fellow servant fell down at his feet, begged and said, 'Have patience with me and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but he went through him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when the fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry, and he delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him." Then Jesus says, "So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." So we know that scripture, and we use that. The point I want to make is 33. If we do not forgive from the heart. When I was first saved, I had a lot of deep wounds and issues because I grew up in a household that was pretty dysfunctional. My father, who did the best he could, physically brutalized us, the whole house, from my mom on down. And when I got saved, took me a while. I was very angry, and it took me a while to get to a place. But when I knew I had to forgive him, and I made the decision to do it, I did, and things was changed, and it was good. My mother, on the other hand, she made it clear she didn't love me. She made it clear that I was a bother to her, a nuisance to her. And when I was about 15, there was a situation that happened that pretty traumatized me. So now I'm a Christian, and I go to this place, and I just, intellectually, I knew what I was supposed to do. I was told by my mentors, I read it in Scripture, and I can't tell you, there was hundreds of times that I would pray, and I'd release her, I forgive her. You know, and there was times when Mary would challenge me or question me in a good way towards my relationship towards my mother. And there was even times when I told her, I says, I can't talk to her because I don't trust myself of what I would say to her. So I knew that I hadn't forgiven her, but I went through the motions the best I could. Well, one night, as she's getting ready to move to Texas, we have a talk. And all of a sudden, I bring out this moment. And all this anger of years, and I'd been saved about 10 years at this time. All this pain of the last 17 years or however long it had been just welled up. And I said some of the most mean, hateful things I could to my mother. Conversation ended, and she did what I thought she would do, which was, oh, I'm sorry it happened. I have no memory of it. But I was dropping her off at her house, so once she went in and I apologized, I didn't make it very far. There's two key points in my life where something like this happened, and I drive about two blocks and I park, and it's kind of like, God, you got to help me. And in that moment, as I'm sitting on the side of the road, for the first time, I told God, I said, I am not leaving this place until somehow, some way, you get rid of this. What do I have to do? That night, the forgiveness came from my heart. Now, I tell you that story because up to that point, unforgiveness affects other people besides just the one. You know, if I have unforgiveness towards Scott, but you know, it will affect my relationships elsewhere. Unfortunately, my wife and my children were affected by my unforgiveness towards my mother. I didn't recognize it, but there was times I would just be mean. I'd say hurtful things. You know, I'd be irritable. Little things would set me off. Well, after that night, I can't say it was instantaneous, but sometime later, all of a sudden, I started recognizing all these little things were gone or greatly diminished. You know, it was a process, but all of a sudden, that's when God showed me that because I forgave from my heart, that all that bitterness that I had towards my mother that was affecting my other relationships, whether it be at work or my family or friends, all that was gone. All because I forgave from the heart. Now, I wish I had a formula of, well, how do you forgive from the heart? For me, the only thing I can say is I got so desperate that I knew that I wasn't right. I knew that there was a level of healing that I hadn't received, that I was willing in that moment to fight with God until he gave it to me or showed me what I needed to do it. So, we're told to forgive, and I'd like to give a couple of definitions of what I believe forgiveness is. Forgiveness, it is the act of setting someone free from an obligation to you that is a result of a wrong done against you. Forgiveness then involves three elements: an injury, a debt resulting from the injury, and a cancellation of that debt. And all three elements are essential if we're supposed to, if we go to a place of forgiveness. Put another way, forgiveness is an act of our will in which we choose to give up our right to hold another person accountable for a wrong they have done to us, a choice to release someone or yourself from the debt you believe is owed to you. And I say it that way because a lot of times someone may wrong us, may hurt us, but what really happened in our reality could be different. One of my biggest challenges, you know, Mary and I and our family, we were doing well, and I kept struggling. I always had a desire. God showed me once I was saved that one of my biggest desires, he showed me when I was in eighth grade where I actually spoke, that one of my desires, one of the things that I thought was going to be my mark in life was being a father. And I struggled because I viewed myself as not doing a very good job. I've been blessed that all my kids have told me that your view and our view is radically different. But in this one moment, I'm struggling, and my lovely bride tells me, she says, "Got a question for you." Between myself and her, we like questions.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
And she asked me, she says, "Do you believe God has forgiven you?" And I goes, "Well, sure." She says, "Well, I can tell you I have forgiven you. I know the kids have forgiven you. So if we have, when are you going to forgive yourself? When are you going to get past the unforgiveness that you have in your heart that's towards your own self?" Again, it was affecting so many different areas of my life, and I didn't recognize it. So I'm grateful that she said those things, because I am a man that once something is spoken to me, whether by a loved one, by the Holy Spirit, by my own search of self-awareness, when I get that glimmer, when I get that information, it's kind of like, okay, God, what are we going to do? What is my part? My part is the maturing process, owning it, being brutally honest with myself. God's part is the healing and the sanctification. Forgiveness is a command of God. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." I think Ephesians 4, there's a lot in Ephesians 4 that talks about the Christian life, what we're to do, what we shouldn't do, but talks about unity, spiritual gifts, being a new man. And it ends with this verse. The thing that has always been interesting to me is as he's going through this chapter and as he, in this one verse, be kind, be tenderhearted, forgive one another. And then it says, even as God in Christ forgave you. The last part we have to get before we can do all the others. the last part, I have to understand that God truly forgives me no matter what I've done. And until I receive that forgiveness, do I have the ability to take God's love and be kind, be tenderhearted? I can't do those things until I get the revelation that God has forgiven me. In Mark 11, 25, it says, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses." To me, the significance of that is Jesus is saying, when you stand and pray. So, to me, every time I'm praying, one of the things, whether it's the first thing or somewhere in there, I have to go to the place of forgiveness. I have to go to the place of checking my heart. Who am I holding unforgiveness towards? In 2 Corinthians 5:19, it says that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed us to a message of reconciliation. Again, God wants us to be reconciled. God wants us to love. He wants us to be kind. All the fruits and promises, the fruits of the spirits and the promises that Jesus has given us. So if forgiveness is a foundation of our faith and a doorway to freedom, I believe a spirit of unforgiveness is a stronghold or a bondage that stifles our ability to love. It cripples marriages. It is a bondage that often passed from generation to generation. It is a bondage that chokes out the abundant life that Christ promised for all those who believed. And only by understanding God's forgiveness, making it a part of our lives, will we be delivered from this bondage. And I do believe that unforgiveness is generational. God showed it in my own life, and I've seen it in other people. I've seen where there's generational curses that were passed down to me, and early in my walk with the Lord, he showed me that those generational curses that were passed down to me have been broken off and will not be passed on to my grandchildren or my children. Some of the evidences of unforgiveness. One would be you can't stand to be around certain people. There's just certain people that just irritate you and you just don't want to be around them. Now, this isn't a complete list, but it's some of the common ones. And as I grew in my healing and my walk with the Lord, I recognized that there's some things that are evidence that I have unforgiveness in my heart. Lose temper over little things. We can say mean and hurtful things. We can react negatively and strike out to people when certain subjects are discussed. We feel uncomfortable around certain people or certain personality types. One that I struggled with greatly was I couldn't get away from the ambivalence of hating the ones I knew I should love the most. I hate to say it, but after God promised me he's going to restore my marriage, at first there was times I just couldn't stand to be around her. You know? And it had nothing to do with her. But I struggled with that. That's when God started telling me, you know, when I'm being told I'm supposed to give thanks every day, and when I'm being told that every time I got mad I'm supposed to give thanks, you know, I'd get mad at my wife or my kids, and it's kind of like, well, let me take a break here. And I'd give thanks, and all of a sudden, radically I would change. And I slowly recognize that with the foundation of thankfulness and gratitude, that if I make unforgiveness for past hurts and wounds and for my present mistakes, that I could recover quickly, that I could be relationally connected with my wife and my children. We must know and be aware of the destructive nature of an unforgiving spirit. And like I said, it's not just limited to the one person. The most common, you know, I've been blessed to where God has, and I think we all have experienced this or know someone, if God takes you out of something, if he heals you of something, it's very common he'll use you in that area. You know, I've said many times, I get angry and hateful towards the enemy when I see him breaking up marriages and keeping men in bondage and families broken. You know, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I would have been a statistic. Instead of having four children, I would have only had two children. You know, but by the grace of God, he restored my marriage. And I don't regret going through any of that for who I am and what I have today. Another reason that we lose out in life, I believe, because of unforgiveness is rejection. We will reject people who are close to us. If someone tries to be kind to us or do something for us, we will reject it. There was times when, because of what God had done in my life, one of my gifts is I want to serve, I want to help people. Well, someone would return that, and I'd want to reject it. It's kind of like, no, you don't have to do that. You know, and it took a while, and I started asking God, well, why is it? You know, why do I do that? More times than not, it went back to some root of unforgiveness that I had. So I'm saying unforgiveness. A spirit of unforgiveness can keep us in bondage. And as I said earlier, that I believe forgiveness is one of the doorways, one of the pathways to having all the promises and the fullness of life. Well, I believe one of the doorways to unforgiveness is offense. More times than not, my unforgiveness was as a result that I was offended because of something someone did. I remember many times over the years, as I'm sitting with someone and talking about how someone hurt me or offended me, Dan May used to always tell me, he goes, you realize you can choose that you're choosing that offense. And I didn't really want to hear that in the moment. I was on the pity pot. You know, I want to be justified. So, and there's many causes of offense. You know, not being recognized for what we do. Someone's opinion may not line up with ours. One that early on I had a struggle with this, and then I learned to really embrace it. And that's the people who cared about me the most would speak a hard truth. I'd have, whether it be my wife, I came to understand, and I believe this wholeheartedly. Because my wife spoke a hard truth to me one time years and years ago, and it's kind of like, I don't know if I accept that. I think it's because of your this, this, and this. And she'd keep reminding me. And so one time I went to the Lord and I said, God, am I really that controlling? Am I really that prideful? And God showed me that I was. So he showed me a way out, and I started changing. I'm not perfect, absolutely not. But control is an issue that I see that, you know, is greatly subsided. But in that moment, I recognized one of the things God showed me is, outside me, why would Mary not know you better than anybody else? Why would you not trust her? And in that moment, I started trusting the people God put in my life. Sometimes we get offended because we're not appreciated. You know, I remember as a father, being a parent has so many rewards. But there's times as a father, especially when they're in their teen years, they're going through their maturing process, and sometimes that conflicts with what I want. And I didn't feel appreciated by my children, so I'd get mad. I'd get upset. I would carry an offense from my own children. I learned the quicker I repent of that and realize they're just probably being a normal. Now, are there life lessons that maybe they need to learn? Sure, that we could talk about. But I would take offense because I wasn't appreciated. There's so many things, big and small, that can offend us. You know, we could sit here, I could ask everyone, I'm sure that every person here could come up with something that would cause offense. There are some people I believe that go through life so unhappy, so wounded, so hurt, that they'll look for things to be offended about. You know, the other thing about offense is most of the time, if we're carrying an offense against someone, it's very common that they don't even realize it. I remember more than once, but one significant time, there was someone in my mind had offended me. They had made some statements, done some things, and it just hurt me, it upset me, it offended me. So being married, poor Mary got most of the brunt of that, you know. I would go on and I'd just vent. I'd replay it. Well, he did this. He said that, blah, blah, blah. And this goes on for, I don't know, a week or so, whatever it was. And Mary just kept telling me, you know, you realize that this is all about you. So when I finally got tired enough of being angry and being offended and being hurt, you know, I went to God, repented of that anger, had a discussion with God, and all of a sudden it's kind of like, oh, that really wasn't what happened at all. And I remember going to this person and saying, hey, I want to talk. And I apologized because I let him know that I had held an offense. I was angry. I was mad. I didn't say kind words about you. And they just kind of laughed, and they said, well, that's okay. You know, you're forgiven. But I had no clue. And that is the most common thing. We will spend emotional negative energy being offended at someone, And most of the time, they're not even affected. Unforgiveness affects us. I want to take a few moments. Those of you who know me have probably heard me talk about every day, look for moments of appreciation. Every day, look for how God's active in your life. Well, there's a video I want to show. It's about 4 minutes, and then I'll close right after that real quick. But as I'm preparing, God has been challenging me to speak about forgiveness for a year now, and different things kept delaying it. So as I'm writing notes and preparing for this and praying about it, my grandkids, Jessica's three older kids, were talking about this video that they're watching from this one pastor at Transformation Church. They said, "Have you heard of him?" I said, "Well, I recognize it." And they said, "You got to listen to this." So I'm playing it. You know, it's well over an hour. And so I'm having to watch it a couple times because I'm getting distracted. One day, as I'm writing down about offense, and I got this video playing, all of a sudden, he got my attention, and I stopped. So this is about a four and a half minute video that he talks about offense. I want to watch that, and then I'll close.
What I want you to know is offense is all around us. Offense is coming and offense is going. Offense happens online. Offense happens when we're driving. Offense happens when we're speaking at a conference. Offense happens. It just passes us. Offense just goes past us. And I see offense and I come in contact. I see offense, I come in contact. But the thing that you got to realize is as offense is going past me, I'm not picking it up. But there's a problem. I ran late at work. And you cut me off and you flipped me off. And I chose to pick up offense. And see, this is the thing. I let that offense go by. And I let that offense go by. But offense is either picked up or put on. No, you're a racist. You shouldn't have made that comment online. And I picked up offense. And what happens is now I got to go through my day and I got to worship God and I got to love on other people and I got to do all this stuff. But I'm choosing to either let offense go by, it's in the air, or I'm going to pick it up. And the problem is some of us are so used to, you said you was going to actually be my girl and you left me. Now I'm going to pick up offense. And you said that you were going to be my business partner, but I'm going to pick up offense. And I keep going through life and I keep letting people go. And it's been 8 years now. And I'm walking around in my life, but then something happened. My sister, I didn't pick it up, but she put it on me. She let her friend come over and sexually abuse me, and she knew. Do you see? Four of the offenses I picked up, but the one from my family member she put on. And there's some of us that are dealing with offenses, some that we picked up, but others that we put on, that were put on us by family members or coaches or people that were close to us. And now I'm more offended. Don't you ever talk to me like that again at my job. Did you look at me crazy? I'm taking offense. You better get the F away from me. Oh, you gonna act like that's not how you actually talk? The person at the gym, they took my machine. You're a Trump supporter? Huh? You're a Trump supporter? Huh? Huh? I'm going to shake the fence. Now let me go reach my destiny. Good morning, Transformation Church. I want to give God praise for using me. Hey, can we Netflix and chill? Can we, yeah. Hold on, you put that on me because I thought we were going to be together and you left me at the altar. You want me to have it? You don't want to help me carry it? And then there's somebody that comes over, and you're the one that cheated. I said, that's who she cheated with. You were my best friend. And so now, the offense becomes the seat of unforgiveness. It's the place now that I get comfortable. This is the place now where I like to be. It's more comfortable to live in a place where I've let the offense now become my new normal. And every morning, I wake up with unforgiveness in my heart. And I never can extend to anybody else what I have not received for myself. Why are you telling me this, Pastor Mike? Because some of you are so offended. And that offense now has turned into the bed of your unforgiveness. And now God's saying, I need you to let that go because I have a plan and a destiny for you that's bigger than anything that's happened to you or been put on you.
Now, in that moment when I heard that and I'm writing this, there was no doubt in my mind that God cared enough about me to plop that in my hands. Not only did he do that, but one of the promises I briefly mentioned earlier that he gave me when Jessica was 15 years old was that my grandchildren would come to know him and serve him. And that was given to me by three of my grandchildren. Aaron, some of the songs that they did today really moved me in some of the verses. But when Aaron said, God is excited to provide for you, I want to encourage you that if you have offense towards anyone, towards yourself, towards your pastor, towards a parent, a co-worker, a boss, whatever, you can choose to lay it down. God will help you. And in this moment, what God said to Aaron this morning, I believe he has for all of us. God's excited to help us lay down our offense. God is excited to help us if we ask of truly walking out unforgiveness. So that's really all I have. If anyone would want to come up, if you have someone that you know you have offense towards and you want to lay it down, you don't have to speak it, I'd like to pray for you. If you don't come up, that's okay. But I encourage you today and the days ahead, this week, before Thanksgiving. This is a week of Thanksgiving. You know, I'm very blessed that the man God chose to lead me to know him, he instilled in me, you got to be thankful. He told me every morning, every night, you got to go and thank God for something. You can find something to be thankful for. And then as he saw that I was angry 24/7, every time I talked to him, I was angry, I was ticked off. He said, you know, every time you get angry, you need to stop and thank God for something. I tell you that story because journaling and writing what I'm thankful for has been the foundation, and it is what has probably been more instrumental in my inner healing. Because in that place of writing or speaking thankfulness to God, all of a sudden I'm connected with him. All of a sudden I recognize I can only forgive when I go to God and connect up with him and ask him for the help to do that. So, again, if whether you come up now for prayer, I encourage you, reflect. Be brutally honest with yourself. Who am I holding offense against? It may be a parent of someone, something that they did to you as a kid. It may be a boss. It may be a brother or a sister, a friend, whoever. If you want inner healing, if you want to live a life of freedom and wholeness and joy that is promised to us, God told us we're going to have trials. But if you have the faith to believe in me, I'll give you the perseverance to overcome. So I encourage you, reflect, be honest. If you hold resentment, speak to God, talk to him. He'll help you lay it down. And you'll gain more freedom, more joy. So that's all I have.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you. All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the word today. God, we thank you for the anointing here even now. And Lord, I bless this house, this family, God, my brothers and sisters. Lord, that we would take it to heart, that we would be able to walk in new levels of freedom, new levels of forgiveness, Lord, new levels of liberty. God, use this in our lives, Lord, not just that we could live it, but we could carry it and impart it to others, Lord, just as Greg has done. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. God, I bless us this week as we go about our gatherings, Lord, as we see our family and loved ones, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for your hand, for your goodness, for your provision, for your peace, and for your power in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay. If you want to receive prayer this morning, the altar's open. And just come forward and we'll pray for you. God bless you. Have a great day.